All right, so AI safety and governance. Judging by this stack of sources, it's a hot topic. Feels like everyone's trying to figure it out, but
A bit like a robot trying to make a souffle. Lots of potential for things to go wrong.
exactly. We've got international declarations, government frameworks, even a blog post in here. It's a lot to unpack.
It really highlights how rapidly this field is evolving. But that's why we're here, right? To break it down.
Absolutely. So where do we even begin? We've got the Bletchley Declaration, local guidelines. It's like a puzzle where the pieces don't quite fit yet.
I think a good place to start is by thinking in layers. At the top, you have those international agreements like the Bletchley Declaration. That's the one that came out of the AI Safety Summit last year. Essentially, it's a bunch of countries saying, okay, we need to work together on this AI thing.
Right, a high-level handshake.
Yeah.
But how do we go from let's figure out AI together to actual guidance for someone, say a developer here in Australia, who's building an AI system right now?
And that's where the next layer comes in, national strategies. Australia, for example, has its AI ethics framework, lays out a set of principles for responsible AI development.
So it's like a moral compass, but not necessarily strict rules. I'm thinking of the EU's AI Act, which categorizes AI systems based on risk and actually has prohibitions. That's a pretty different approach. Wasn't that a big deal when it came into effect in July?
It was. Think of it like building a house. Australia saying, here are some good building codes, keep safety in mind. The EU is like, nope, here are the exact specifications for your load-bearing walls, no exceptions, much more prescriptive.
So principles versus rules, both valid, just different approaches.
Exactly. And that's important to keep in mind, especially if you're working across different regulatory environments. What flies in Sydney might not in Stockholm.
And speaking of different environments, let's zoom in even closer to home. New South Wales has been pretty proactive with its own AI guidelines, haven't they?
They have. New South Wales has the AI Assurance Framework, which specifically impacts government projects, risk assessments, ethical considerations, that sort of thing.
So it's not just talk, there are actual consequences for not following those guidelines.
Exactly. It shows that AI safety is becoming much more than just a theoretical discussion. It's shaping how decisions are made, especially in the public sector.
Okay, so we've got the global level, the national, even state level frameworks, but what about the people on the ground building these AI systems, the developers, the data scientists? What kind of guidance is out there for them?
That's where we get into the really practical stuff. Things like the Australian Cybersecurity Centre's guidelines.
They have specific guidelines for AI.
They do. Guidelines for secure AI system development. They cover everything from secure design to threat modeling, basically, anticipating how someone might attack your AI.
It's like cybersecurity, but specifically for AI systems.
Exactly, because it's not just about preventing some hacker from taking control of a self-driving car, although that's obviously important. There are huge privacy implications too, especially with all the excitement and anxiety around generative AI.
Right. AI that can create things, text, images, music. It's amazing, but also a little unnerving how realistic it's getting.
And that's where those privacy concerns become really real. Like the Office of the Victorian Information Commissioner, they basically put out a statement recently saying, no using ChatGPT when handling personal data.
Wow, really? That's pretty clear cut. What's the thinking behind that?
I think it signals a shift, that move fast and break things mentality that's so common in tech. It's just not going to fly when it comes to sensitive information. Regulators are taking data protection in the age of AI very seriously.
So understanding these guidelines, it's not just a suggestion, it's essential.
Exactly. Whether you're a developer, a policymaker, or just someone who interacts with AI, which is pretty much everyone these days, these guidelines offer a glimpse into how these high-level ideas about AI safety are actually being put into practice.
It really drives home the point that AI safety isn't just about theoretical risks. It's about real-world consequences, especially when dealing with sensitive information. But let's shift gears a bit. We've talked about governments and regulations, but there's a whole other group of players impacting AI safety, the ones grappling not just with the how, but the why.
You're talking about the think tanks, the research institutions, the organizations pushing the very boundaries of AI, not just how to build it safely, but also what it means to have these powerful systems in our world.
Right. It feels like they're the ones asking the big, almost philosophical questions, the ones that keep you up at night.
Exactly. And a great example here in Australia is the Gradient Institute. They're not just trying to build ethical guidelines, they're figuring out how to embed those ethical considerations directly into the AI systems themselves.
Whoa. So instead of just telling AI, don't do bad things, They're trying to build in a fundamental understanding of what good even means. That's wild.
It is. They're working on the cutting edge of AI ethics, essentially trying to bake those considerations into the algorithms themselves. And then you have groups like the Center for the Governance of AI or GovAI looking at the really big picture.
Yeah, GovAI is fascinating. They seem less concerned with today's AI and more focused on the AI of tomorrow, the really powerful stuff that could potentially surpass human intelligence.
Exactly. They're asking, what if we create AI so advanced that it starts setting its own goals? How do we ensure those goals align with humanity's best interests? It's about maintaining control, anticipating unintended consequences, and ensuring AI's development benefits society as a whole.
So it's not just about preventing robots from taking over the world, although that's definitely a consideration, right? It's about making sure that even if AI becomes incredibly intelligent, it's still working with us, not against us.
Precisely. And what's so interesting is that the work of these think tanks, the research they're doing, the questions they're raising, directly influences the policies and practices we were discussing earlier. It's a feedback loop with each layer informing the others.
It's like a giant ecosystem with everyone playing a crucial role in shaping the future of AI. You've got the international organizations setting the stage, the governments creating the rules, the developers building the systems, and then these think tanks pushing the boundaries and asking the tough questions.
And that brings us to a critical point in our deep dive. Looking at specific initiatives, the tangible efforts being made to turn these principles and ideas into reality. You've gathered some excellent materials on this, and I'm keen to hear your thoughts on which ones stand out.
Absolutely. We've covered the big picture, but now I'm eager to zoom in on some concrete examples of how this all plays out. Let's start with a UNESCO recommendation on the ethics of AI. It seems like a pretty big deal, the first of its kind globally, right?
It is a landmark document. Think about it. All 193 UNESCO member states agreed on this. That's truly global consensus on the ethics of AI. It carries significant weight and provides a powerful framework for shaping national and international approaches.
Wow, that's impressive. But what makes it more than just a symbolic gesture? Does it have any teeth?
It definitely does. It goes beyond just stating high-level principles and actually outlines concrete actions for governments to take. For example, it emphasizes the importance of ethical impact assessments for AI systems, especially those with potential implications for human rights.
So it's like a blueprint for governments saying, here's how you actually build ethical AI into your policies and regulations.
Exactly. And it doesn't stop there. It also delves into the core values that should guide ethical AI development, outlining four key pillars.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Let's break those down. What are these core values?
The first is respecting human dignity and human rights, ensuring that AI development and deployment don't infringe upon fundamental freedoms. The second emphasizes fairness and justice, guaranteeing that AI systems treat individuals and groups equitably and don't perpetuate existing biases.
Those are critical considerations, especially given concerns about AI perpetuating or even exacerbating existing inequalities.
Absolutely. And that's why the third value is so important, promoting inclusivity and diversity. This means ensuring that AI benefits all of humanity, not just a select few, and that its development involves diverse voices and perspectives.
That makes sense. Having a broader range of people involved in creating AI systems will hopefully lead to more equitable outcomes. Now, what's the fourth core value?
The fourth focuses on safeguarding a healthy environment, recognizing that AI's impact extends beyond just the digital realm. It highlights the need to consider the environmental sustainability of AI development and deployment, ensuring it contributes to a healthier planet, not the opposite.
So it's not just about how AI impacts people, but also the planet. That's a really holistic view.
Exactly. And what's impressive is that UNESCO didn't just stop at these core values. They went a step further and translated them into 10 specific principles for ethical AI.
10 principles. That sounds pretty comprehensive. Give us the highlights.
Well, they cover a wide range of areas, from ensuring privacy and transparency to promoting sustainability and accountability. For example, there's a strong emphasis on human oversight and control, ensuring humans remain in the driver's seat when it comes to AI systems, particularly in critical domains.
That's reassuring to hear, especially with all the talk about AI becoming autonomous. It seems like UNESCO is trying to strike a balance between promoting innovation and ensuring human well-being is never compromised.
Exactly. And they provide concrete tools to help countries implement these principles. There's the Readiness Assessment Methodology, or RAM, which helps nations assess their preparedness for ethical AI. They also have a platform called Women for Ethical AI, promoting gender equality in the field, recognizing that a diversity of perspectives is crucial for ethical and responsible AI development.
It sounds like UNESCO is putting its money where its mouth is, going beyond just words on paper and providing tangible resources to make ethical AI a reality.
They are, and it's a testament to the seriousness with which they approach this issue. It's a global call to action, urging governments, organizations, and individuals to work together to shape a future where AI benefits all of humanity.
It's an ambitious vision, but from what you've described, they're taking concrete steps to make it happen. Now, while the UNESCO recommendation tackles the global landscape, I'm also interested in how these high-level principles translate into practical guidelines for organizations actually building and deploying AI systems. And that's where the NIST AI Risk Management Framework, or AIRMF, comes in, right?
It does.
It's like UNESCO sets the stage, and then NIST comes in with a practical toolkit for actually building those ethical considerations into real-world AI systems.
Exactly. It's all about providing that practical guidance, helping organizations navigate the potential pitfalls.
And when we talk pitfalls, what comes to mind? What kind of risks are we trying to mitigate here?
Well, think about a hospital using an AI system to help with diagnoses. One big risk is bias. If the data used to train that AI isn't diverse enough, it could lead to unfair or even dangerous outcomes for certain groups of patients.
Right. So the AI might be less accurate for, say, people with darker skin tones or from certain backgrounds. That's a huge issue.
Absolutely. And that's where the AIRMF comes in. It helps organizations identify those risks early on, assess their potential impact, and then crucially, take steps to address them. It's about building in safeguards from day one, not trying to fix things after the fact.
So it's not just about preventing harm, it's about ensuring that the AI system is used responsibly and ethically throughout its entire lifespan, from development to deployment and even eventual retirement, right?
You've got it. And a big part of that is building trust. If people don't trust these AI systems, they're not going to use them. It doesn't matter how technically sophisticated the AI is, trust is paramount.
Which is where the AIRMF's focus on transparency comes in. Like, organizations need to be open about how they're developing and using these systems.
Exactly. Transparency is key. People deserve to know how these systems work, what data they're using, and what steps are being taken to minimize risks. It's about accountability, too.
This AIRMF sounds like a really solid framework, but I imagine it can feel pretty overwhelming, especially for smaller organizations that might not have, you know, a dedicated AI ethics department.
You're not wrong. It can be a lot to digest. But that's why NIST has gone above and beyond with the resources they provide. Playbooks, step-by-step guides, roadmaps for different stages of the AI lifecycle. They've really tried to make it user-friendly.
And I think that's important because it reinforces the idea that AI safety isn't just the responsibility of governments or tech giants. It's a shared responsibility, right?
Absolutely. Developers, policymakers, even everyday users like you and me, We all have a role to play in shaping the future of AI.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the key message you want to leave our listeners with?
AI safety is a journey, not a destination. It's ongoing, constantly evolving as AI technology advances. We need to stay informed, keep asking the tough questions, and work together to ensure that AI benefits all of humanity.
I like that. It's a continuous process of learning, adapting, and striving for better outcomes.
Exactly.
Well, this has been fascinating. We've covered so much ground, from global initiatives like the UNESCO recommendation to very practical frameworks like the NIST AI RMF. It's clear that a lot of thought and effort is going into making AI safer and more trustworthy.
It certainly is a dynamic field.
And for our listeners, we encourage you to keep exploring. Pick up one of the documents we discussed, dive into the research, and join the conversation. The future of AI is being written right now, and we all have a part to play. Until next time.